Siegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We need to talk with Stoney. This week when we were talking about Ozzy Osbourne, if you go back and watch the video of him singing the seventh inning stretch, there's Steve Stone standing there marveling at what was going on. Do you remember that, and what was going through your head if you do?
Well, I remember it clearly for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the whole thing when he messed up, you know, take me out to the ball game, that was an act. First of all, he's a professional singer, as we know. And he was a wonderful singer, and I certainly love Black Sabbath. But also, he had the words that were taped right on the monitor that was right in front of him. So if he wanted to sing those words, he could have.
Take me in, baby, that's in you. I don't remember what I have to do.
But he chose not to because he wanted to make it a show.
I didn't buy that from Steve Stone, by the way.
I certainly love Black Sabbath.
That I bought.
No, we didn't have any music when I was growing up.
It's that Gregorian chant.
Stoney has a lot of interest that you would be like, wait, really?
I'm going to go in there and crank...
some Black Sabbath, apparently.
Crank War Pigs in the back of the booth when I see him on Sunday.
I'm sure
John Triffin will enjoy that.
Have to hear that song again.
Generals gathered in their masses.
Yes.
Just like witches at black masses.
I love the music.
Evil minds that plot destruction.
Ooh.
Sorcerer of death's construction.
I certainly love Black Sabbath.
Listen, kid, sometimes things end up much better than you'd expect, all right? Think of it this way. When Black Sabbath fired Ozzy in 79, you would have figured it was all f***ing over.
Who's Black Sabbath?
Get the f*** off my property. I just want to know.
No virgins allowed.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, full boat for you today. We're here until 6 o'clock, and there's a lot of stuff that we have to get done. We'll see if there's any sort of maneuvering that goes on as the trade deadline closes in on the Cubs. What will they do? John Morosi is going to join us at 4 o'clock. We'll talk with him about all sorts of stuff. Chris Emma's got our Bears hit. He reminds me that the Shamar Turner injury is an ankle, suffered at practice last Wednesday, and now Biggs is reporting that he could be out for a month or more. Ron Coomer will join us at 5:25. Tanny did the open, but he had some place to be today. So for now, Alex is flying solo, which scares all of us. We are going to run 11 personnel. We got one of the Tylers coming in here in about 30 minutes.
You said the quiet part out loud about being scared for Alex, or is it scared for us?
It's scared for Alex. Yeah. More. Like, he'll be fine.
I just want him to just relax and just be, let it be what it is,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. By
it's
the way,
good.
That man
Hello.
Is Matt Spiegel. See, he got that part.
He didn't nail that part.
There's a lot for us to get into inside of today's show, including talking about the weekend that was over at 35th and Shields.
Yeah, man, and a ton of other, like, baseball stuff. Hall of Fame ceremonies conveniently tucked in on a Sunday against a full slate of games. Bryce Harper yelling in the face of the commissioner inside a clubhouse. We need to discuss that.
Yep.
And, non-disciplinary paid leave for superstar relievers as it relates to gambling investigations. A light news day.
Gambling investigations and possible trade just scrubbed because this guy is now on the list. You're on the list.
But as you said, like, phones are blowing up, including mine, like people and friends and sources and semi-sources and people who want to be sources, people who think they're sources, and I don't have the heart to tell them they're not sources.
Semi-sources is great. Didn't they do closing time?
I think they did, as a matter of fact. So it's like, all right, you're trying to sort through all the rubble that is trade deadline shenanigans, but we'll be on top of it. But you came in hot today, in this morning in the thread and pregame, saying that there's stuff that was said over the weekend that we need to hear, because we spent a lot of time dissecting Ben and Caleb, and we always will. There's something you heard that rejiggers some things.
Yes, and I sent a couple text messages like after, because I watched it yesterday, and I was sitting there going, oh, that's interesting. We should probably talk about that. And I said, hey, I'm reading this like this. Am I reading it correctly since you were in the room? And these people were like, yes, that is how pretty much all of us read this. You know how we've been talking about the experience of Caleb was, and it's been clunky. I'm not really that worried, and you and I discussed it a little bit last week. If things still look bad at the end of this week, then maybe I'll worry, but this is a new system, so I'm expecting there to be some bumps.
And some days have been very bumpy. Some days have not. Even over the weekend, some days were not.
Correct.
As we catch up.
Correct. But I wanted you to hear this from Ben, because you and I have been trying to figure out, like, well, is Caleb... Is this like his rookie year all over again? No, it can't be, right? Because he played 17 games last year and he threw for over 3,000 yards. And there's got to be something in that that allows him to fast track picking up this new system. Ben Johnson is not here for that theory.
As you work with Caleb, a lot of what you're describing over the last 6 months or so since you've been here is literally from the ground up with his footwork. How much... or what is reasonable to expect to have carried over from last year? As you try to teach him, what does he already have from playing a full season?
There really isn't a ton of carryover from what he was asked to do, the play calls or anything of that nature. I mean, he's always been very comfortable as a shotgun quarterback going back to college and even last year. He's very comfortable in a two-minute setting. He's very comfortable with tempo-type plays. And so now we're asking him to be a little bit more structured in terms of the play calls. Sometimes there's multiple calls. You know, there's shifts, there's motions. There's a lot more going on mentally than probably there's ever been for him. And so at some point, this thing will start slowing down, and he's going to be able to catch up, and his physical ability will take over from there. But right now, because mentally it is what it is, he's playing a little bit slower than what he's capable of.
Is there anything that is... I mean, he's not a rookie. Is there anything that you get from those 17 games last year, at least in seeing defenses, seeing personnel? Is there anything that is already built?
Yeah, because I wasn't here, I can't speak entirely to that. But sure, I think he understands what a training camp's going to be about. He knows what a game week is going to look like. There's some things that hopefully the anxiety level goes down because, oh, okay, I know what to expect now, but it's still, there's a lot different than what there was for him a year ago.
Oh, I'm so glad you included the follow-up.
So, Speaks, you read it like I read it. Ben Johnson's telling you that basically he learned nothing last year.
Nothing. That sounded like it is a waste. That rookie year that they flat out wasted, which we suspected, a full year of potential development for a number one overall pick. That answer on the follow-up, like, that's Jason Leisure trying to say, well, then there must
throw
be
something out there.
There must be something. And Ben's like, yeah, no. Like, what training camp looks like, what a week of preparation looks like.
So
wow.
You have to realize now. That, and there's another thing in there that I want to get your thoughts on too, but you have to realize now that we're kind of dealing with a rookie quarterback again. He is starting from nothing. So the fact that it does look a little clunky and bumpy, I actually have more sympathy and empathy for it now when you hear Ben Johnson be like, no, you know those guys who were here? Here's what Ben Johnson told you. You know those guys who were here last year working with Caleb?
Yeah.
They were a bunch of idiots. So we have to unlearn some stuff, and now we're asking him to do stuff that he's never done before. So we've got to deprogram him, then reprogram him to what it is that we want to do.
Makes me want to go back and think about schematically what Waldron was thinking. Was he just trying to, like, let Caleb be Caleb and do a little bit more? You know, like a little bit more based on that, because they were just letting Caleb do a lot of Caleb things and be in the gun an awful lot. And Ben is saying, no, this is completely unlike everything we did last year. I think, which I've known intellectually, but to hear it that starkly is quite something.
It's hard to believe that the experience of being an NFL quarterback, going through 17 games, that there isn't something that they feel like they can get. But I kept thinking about this weekend because, you know, I love my comic book movies. There's this point during Avengers Endgame where Loki is trying to convince Thanos that he should go back to Earth with him because he goes, well, you'll need an experienced tour guide. And Thanos is like, if you count failure as experience, then sure. And that's what this felt like to me. Like, all of that failure was not the experience that anyone wanted for Caleb. And then Ben Johnson is like, nah, there wasn't a lot there for us to be able to do with him. And then you get into, like, the mechanics of it, Speaks. The mechanics of we are asking him to do some different stuff. Hmm. And I think that he kind of answered our question without me having to ask the question.
Which one?
The one about whether or not they want Caleb to take some risk.
Yes.
To kind of play a little bit of depth finder. And Courtney Cronin had asked a question that is similar to that this weekend. The answer is no. They do want him to play a little bit more like Jared Goff. And then if a play breaks down, then go crazy. Do all the crazy cool stuff that you can do.
That's
but that is not the goal immediately, is for them to build it so that he can thrive with his athleticism and kind of the twitchy stuff that he's able to do in the pocket.
That makes sense to me, actually, to be like, nah, just learn what the safe thing is. Learn what the safe thing is. Do the safe thing, and that's that. So as soon as you do the safe thing and you know what that is, then maybe every once in a while you can push the envelope a little bit and do the other thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's an important thing because this conversation of like, I don't know, are you worried or not? And it sounds like, I mean, you're still the mayor of Worrytown, but you're doing a pretty even-handed job. You're reaching across the aisle right now.
I mean, you have to do that, Speaks. It's very important.
You are. You're like, to the non-denizens of Worrytown, you're like, we don't need just population for the sake of populating.
No, you got to
right
come
now.
Over here filled with absolute worry. We don't want you to just come over here because you feel like you should.
Right. Because that's, in the end, that'll lower the property value.
Yeah, we don't need that.
You got some non-worriers living in Worrytown.
Yeah, we can't have that.
No, you can't have that. So, no, I admire your leadership as the mayor.
And Ben was also kind of saying to everyone that was assembled up there that the reason that it will look like, and we're going to see it in practice, and we might even see it in the games and the joint practices.
Yeah.
It's going to look like Case knows a lot more about this offense is because he does. He does, and he's done this before. Uh-huh. So this is not foreign to him. So if your expectation, like, I know that a lot of people are like, man, this is it. We got the guy. We got the coach. I'm just saying that you should probably recalibrate expectations for a little bumpiness. And it's funny because someone that said to me, someone who covers the team had said to me, this is going to be a really interesting 12 weeks for the Bears. And so I started doing the math, and I'm like, oh, so take them through the first 2 months of the season on this because of where the quarterback is.
Yeah, it's a really interesting first couple of months here for Bears fans. These conversations have found me out in the wild.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everyone wants to talk Bears.
And a lot of people are like, I don't know, man, Caleb, I don't know, because they see this stuff. And it's a question of like, all right, how much of a conversation do I actually want to have? I'm not at work right now, yada, yada. But then you when you do know some stuff and you can help with some context, it's really valuable. All right, that's important stuff to hear, that flat out call of zero value in the
entire important part of being having tactics.
Yeah. I hope the people that were watching on Twitch really could see your face when that 7.5 month pregnant pause happened after the second question.
Seriously, the fact that there's nothing there. And you know what? There's even more context in a column from a national football guy today about this. Let's continue the conversation. Lots of Cubs Sox at 3:00, and we got a lot of Cubs Brewers on the show for you and everything like that, Lawrence. But there's even more context on how to feel about Caleb's ramp up period under Ben Johnson that I want to bring to you.
So let's get into that, and we appreciate you hanging out with us. It's a beautiful day. We know that you have all sorts of options, so we are pleased that you pick Spiegel and Holmes as your choice. We will come back, talk a lot more Bears. Don't worry though, at 3:00 we are going to shift things over to what was a very interesting weekend over on the South Side. So don't go anywhere. We got you until 6 o'clock at Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.